You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Busy, busy time right now. The UA men's basketball game just started 2-2 in the first 2.5 minutes. We'll have Judy McDermott at about 6:15. I was already speaking basketball terms. 6:15. Judy McDermott is the executive director of the Tucson Conquistadors. I want to say El Conquistador, but Tucson Conquistadors with a big golf tournament here next week. And then we'll have Walt Ruff of the Tucson Roadrunners in about 6:32, talking about the Roadrunners' return to your home ice after a long, long stretch of playing. And we'll see if they stayed in the top of their division. Tom, how are you?
Not bad, Steve. It's a Thursday, so it's my Friday.
Oh, I hate you.
So that's good.
I hate you. So, that's good. Congrats. We'll keep people monitored of the score. Arizona's leading 4-2 now, 3 minutes gone. It's going to be a lackluster 50-point game-ish. The first game, Oregon State won, and it's a big surprise. So we'll see what happens this time on this trip here for Oregon State in the next couple of days. So we'll see. But a big day here with Judy calling in and then Walt as well. So we'll see what happens. Did you see what happened at ASU today?
I have not. Fill me in.
Oh, you don't? So this would be news to you?
It will be news to me. I've been digging through real news today, and I'll be honest, Steve, I haven't looked at the sports much.
Well, every now and again, I don't like kind of doing the stuff in ASU because we're not up there, and a lot of people don't give a darn. But just today, Yahoo broke a story, I guess overnight in the morning, where an associate, excuse me, AD was fired last year, maybe a few months ago, for telling his boss, the AD, that one of their big boosters was sexually harassing some females in the program, wives of his wife, the wife of Bobby Hurley, and some other wife in an administrative role. So I guess the AD, who is a pretty well-known guy, Richards, I think he's Richardson, kind of ignored it, put it off for a few months, and then they started to investigate and found that, yes, indeed, it happened. The booster has since been removed from being a booster in a physical way. He can't go to games anymore, remove tickets, took away his tickets, season tickets, stuff like that. And obviously, he's not going to give them any money now. And he's a former player, I guess, former football player. And so they fired the guy, the AD, who kind of became the whistleblower to this whole mess. And now suing the school for $1.5 million. It looks like the AD could be in hot water now, too.
Well, I don't understand. I really don't. I mean, you're trying to help people. You know, you're trying to do the right thing. You get fired for it.
Right. No question.
I just don't get that.
Politics, sports, whatever.
I understand why they wanted to keep it quiet, Steve, but it just... I just shake my head at this stuff. People.
Yeah. No, I guess... I was thinking the same thing in terms of money, what you do to save money or to keep money flowing, and that guy must have been a big booster because he's contributed to all the sports, and I guess he had been doing that for a little bit. They talked about one incident in Vegas last year at the Pac-12 tournament. So they investigated a little too late. They admitted it was a little too late and found out what they found out, and now the guy is suing him for suing the school for $1.5 million. And athletic Ray Anderson, I want to say Richardson, Ray Richardson, but Ray Anderson was the guy in question in the AD. And he's still there, obviously. And we'll see how long he keeps his job, if he does keep his job. Kind of strange.
It is.
But we live in this world right now where it's kind of, you got to mind your P's and Q's and be good. Obviously, that's not too difficult to do. Just be good. Don't act stupid. Don't say anything stupid. It doesn't prevent me here, but we'll see. So that's going on at ASU. They play Oregon tonight U of A is in the process of playing Oregon State right now in a crawl. 5 minutes in, something like that. 4 minutes in, 3 minutes in, 4-2, Arizona.
It's not exciting.
First 1-10 wins.
First half is always slow, though, isn't it?
It is. It is always. Most of the time. I'm going to be racing to the game in the second half to see what I see so I can write my story for tonight. But it is what it is. Softball in California this weekend. So we'll see what happens. In California this weekend. Women's basketball, they're in Salt Lake, right? Salt Lake, Colorado this weekend?
Yes.
Yeah. So busy weekend here at U of A, busy weekend here with us, with the game on late night Oregon. And then the Color Guard Classic early next week. So we'll see. It's 6:11. I know it's real early before Judy calls in, but, big weekend with them cause they have a lot of new players, new faces coming in. Els, Aldisabo. Who else was on that? Stricker,
Darren Clark, and John Daly.
Yeah, Daly. Daly's an old face, big guy, popular guy.
Great news.
We followed him last year, a friend of mine who looks exactly like him, or his brother, because everyone was asking him, are you Don Daly's brother? I'll show you pictures. Yeah, and he is, actually. Looks a lot like him. So why don't we take a quick break, and I'll have Judy call in as we go to break. Thanks. Yeah, hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. Now it looks like Arizona is up 14-4, 6 minutes in. They're moving the ball. They're running and gunning. That's what you need to do for a team that's trying to slow you down is just run and run and run. So they can't do that. They have to run with you if they're going to try to keep up. And that's one of the things that we've talked about with Sean. And he says he wants to run, so let's do it. Let's go. That's their best chance of winning or being successful the rest of the year. There's no question. You slow them down, you have a chance to win, and they just don't play well in the half court. So we'll see if they can continue this. It's now 14-6. I think Mannion's hit a few good big shots. I know Zeke Nagy has as well. So we'll see if this continues in the first half. Last time it was the second half that did Arizona in against Oregon State, and now slowly they're coming back 14-8. We have Judy on the line. Judy, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How is everybody?
Fine, thank you. You're not at the basketball game, I assume?
No, I'm not.
You're too busy, I assume.
We're still working away here.
Yes. How is it? You start your walk on Sunday. You're, 3 days away. How crazy is it?
It's busy, you know, because people are still calling to buy things, which is
great.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
'Cause the more money we make, the more money we can give to the kids to play sports. So that's a good thing, obviously. And there's a lot of excitement. We have a great field. And so as people read about the awesome players that are coming, like Ernie Els and Darren Clark and John Daly and Jose Maria Olazabal and Fred Couples and you name it, you know, you name any PGA Tour Champions player, they're basically coming to Tucson. We have the best field we've ever had.
I don't want you to give away any secrets, but you released the big names a couple of days ago, I think it was, at least the most recent names. Did you already kind of have... You must have had them on your radar, but when did you know for sure?
Well, the way it works, honestly, Steve, and to the audience out there, is we have an idea when players are going to come when we reach out and invite them, and then they actually book a hotel room. But there's actually a process where they actually sign up through the PGA Tour. It's called committing, and so they actually commit to play in the event. And then we get that list that they've actually signed up to commit, and then that's when that gives us the right to announce that they're going to be attending the event. So we have not even sent this release out, and so I'll announce it on your show. You'll be the first media person to know that Fred Couples actually did just commit today.
Oh, great.
So Fred Couples will be playing in the Color Guard Classic next week.
That's nice. Tom just gave me a big high five through the glass.
Yep. You got an exclusive. I haven't even told Greg Hansen yet.
Very nice. So. I'll tell Greg at the game and says, hey, by the way, did you hear this?
Did you hear this?
Yes, and he'll say, Judy, I'm never talking to you again. You'll never make a Sunday notes anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, no, that's fantastic news.
With our celebrity challenge, star-studded field on Saturday, you know, we're going to have Roger Clemens and Larry the Cable Guy and Lee Bryce, who's the country music star that's doing our concert that same night, and Rusty Wallace from NASCAR. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a little something for everybody.
Yeah. Let me ask you, you know how you're, if you're a car salesman, you sell, you have five cars 1 month. Well, the next month you got to do sell six and seven and eight as it goes. So when you're done like this year, because you guys always seemingly re-up yourself or better yourselves each year. Is it that challenge?
It is the challenge. And obviously with our title sponsor, Coligard, and them signing on with us for another 5 years that we announced in the fall. And so they challenge us to up what we do too. And, you know, we're a cause for celebration, we like to say, and we're trying to spread the word to get people screened. And, you know, they don't have to use the Coligard product to get screened, but just get screened. But, you know, it's a lot easier to use Coligard than get a colonoscopy for the first time around. So So we hope everybody does. But it's all about, you know, actually getting screened and creating that awareness for folks. And then it's all about raising money for the kids.
This is, correct me if I'm wrong, this is not the first time Couples has been here in this capacity.
No. He's played in every one of our champions event but one. So we've been very lucky to have him play. And the only time he didn't play, you know, he has a bad back at times, and so he had to withdraw.
Right. No, you're going to have
But he's healthy now, so he's coming. But we're excited because Ernie Els is making his debut in Tucson for the PGA Tour Champions here. He played a few weeks ago in Hawaii for his first PGA Tour Champions event, and he went into a playoff and lost in the playoff and didn't win the tournament. So he very well could come here and win.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. The weather, I know it's going to rain, I think, on Saturday, but it looks pretty good after that.
It looks pretty good after that. It's a knock on wood, as they say. We're excited. So we've been blessed with good weather. We've always had some surrounding weird weather around the event, and then when the event comes, it's just absolutely perfect.
Right. So explain to the people who are golf fans, but maybe not golf fans, but maybe not the golf fans, where they can just come, relax, enjoy people watching. They can watch some golf and maybe walk if they want. If they don't want, they could kind of just sit and drink a beverage and have some fun.
Have an adult beverage and have some fun. We have all kinds of food trucks out at the event this year and different things to partake in. And the celebrities, like I talked about on Saturday. So if you really think you don't even want to watch a professional golfer, then come out and watch those four celebrities that I talked about earlier and play on Saturday. They're going to tee off at 2:30 on the back nine and finish on television. And so that's going to be fun. But like I say, it's a nice walk in the sun. Enjoy a little, you know, partake in some adult beverages and some great food out at the Omni Tucson National. And just enjoy. Just bring your friends out. Bring your kids. We have a fan zone for kids, Top Golf.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So we have a little fan zone and a Top Golf zone, so even adults, too. And Coligard's going to be doing a really cool thing in their expo booth with skee ball. They're doing, like, golf skee ball in a contest for that, and you can win a lot of very cool prizes in that venue that Coligard's putting in their expo. So,
well, I'm glad you said that and said, well, you can get free tests from Coligard.
Exactly. But, you know, Saturday, if you want to come to the Slub Challenge, and then the concert that night with Lee Bryce and Lindsay L., who's a Canadian rocker, and then Lewis Bryce. It's just going to be, you know, a heck of a good time, as they say.
Yes. Let me ask you, too. So I don't know if I've asked you about this analogy. You've heard of climber's remorse? Yes? No?
Yes.
I must have said this to you. Yeah. So you're getting halfway up this crazy hill. You're halfway up there, and you're saying, there's no way I can do this again. I'm not going to do this again. It's just too difficult. You get near the top, and you say, I can't do this. There's no way. You get to the top, and you take a breather, and you say, I can't wait to do it again next year. Do you get that way with this thing? Because you've done so many of them.
Yeah, we all do. And even the members, you know, we have almost 200 conquistadors strong that help put this event on, not to mention our 600 volunteers. And so, yeah, you work so hard and work so hard to get there. And then you get to tournament week and it's just so fun. And you forget how much work it took to get there.
No, yeah.
But it's fun. You know, it's just fun. Like I said, just this morning talking to Darren Clark's folks about him coming, and you know, it's exciting. I mean, what other sport can you walk, you know, right alongside the player, get their autographs, you know, talk to them if you want. I mean, you know, it's just a good time.
Judy, I wanted to ask you about this. It's my understanding, and I've been to a couple of pro golf tournaments at the PGA level, but it seems like on the Champions Tour, it's a little more accessible for people, for fans, as you mentioned, you know, walking near your folks. Can you talk about that?
I can. One thing that makes it accessible is these players have already made it. You know, they're really legends of the game and a lot of Hall of Famers. You take just our champion last year, Mark O'Meara, you know, he's won the Masters. You know, he's hung out. He's been one of Tiger Woods' buddies and things. You know, he's in the Hall of Fame. And so he's already made it. So there's not that stress. And they understand the giving back to the community and dealing with the sponsors. And with this event, there's also no cut. So they don't have the pressure. You know, on the PGA Tour, you play two rounds, and then you're cut if you don't shoot a certain score to play in the third and fourth round. And that's the only way you make money is in third and fourth round. Well, on the PGA Tour Champions, it's three rounds, and there's no cut. So there's only 78 players that start the field, and 78 players finish the field. So everybody makes a check. So that takes the pressure off of them. So they really can be in the business of entertaining, but yet also competing.
This may be another dumb question, but so you have the party on Saturday. If you didn't know who these people were, what they look like, I know you know the Fred Couples and people like that. Do you see them out? Do you see them at these events? Like the
oh, absolutely.
Concert
the players even come. Like we have a Friday night party that Desert Diamond sponsoring on Friday night. In our big tent right after play, the players will be there. John Daly might be even up on the stage playing his guitar.
Yes.
It could happen. And on Saturday with the concert, we're going to have a ton of players that are going to go to the concert. Our military concert, we've partnered with the DM-50 and DM, and that concert is going to benefit the base and the airmen and airwomen on the base. And that event, you're going to see a ton of players going to the concert on Saturday night. So, you know, not only can you rub elbows with them just walking alongside the ropes at the golf course with them, you also, and you can get their autograph when they're done playing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they'll be at the concert. They'll be at the Friday night party.
And not only does it start on, in addition to it starting on Thursday, you start on Sunday pretty much with the walk, and then the kids
start on the walk. So, you know, quick schedule of events. We have a run walk to benefit colon cancer advocacy and the El Rio Foundation with El Rio Health here on Sunday morning at 7:30. And if you still want to register for that, you can do it online, or you can go to Fleet Feet on Oracle between 10:30 and 1:30 on Saturday. And then Monday we have practice rounds. Tuesdays more practice rounds with the players where you can actually, you know, go out and watch them practice. And it's free to come in. We don't even charge. Wednesday and Thursday is a pro-am. We're going to have some celebrities playing in the pro-ams each day on those days. And those are amateurs playing with the pros where it's very casual. But then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is when the real competition begins, and, you know, the real fun begins when we have everything, you know, amped up for everything that we do and getting the crowds out there.
I know in the past you had the kids come in and play. Is that still happening? Like the younger kids?
We have kids that are playing in – we do have a handful of kids playing in the pro-am. Friday morning we're going to have a military ceremony, opening ceremonies, and we're going to have some of our first tee kids doing opening tee shots after the F-16s fly over.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that, absolutely.
Right, right. And the program is special to the people who like to rub elbows, or you had a dream, you know, when our age, they want to play with these guys. And then, well, lo and behold, you can play with these guys now as they're older.
Yeah, it's like fantasy golf camp.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Exactly what the program is. And you get a great gift pack of wonderful tee gifts and prizes and parties and even our Tuesday night pairings party with our pro-am participants, you know, they get to rub elbows with these PGA Tour players, which is great.
So let me ask you, you know this better than me because you've been doing this for a long time, and I just see it because I go to the games. Tucson is notorious for late arrivals. So yes. do you, I'm sure you stopped panicking a while back saying, okay, it's going to be okay. These guys are going to see the weather. It's going to be great. Let's go watch golf.
Absolutely, yeah. And obviously our pre-sales are great, and we sell a lot of packages pre-sale. So we're set there. And then any of the people that come to the gate, you know, that's just gravy. But, you know, once people like you start talking more about the tournament and what's happening, then we start to sell more tickets and more people come to the tournament and just even buy a ticket at the gate.
Right. No. And that's the case. It's you're relying on the weather. But if you guys done a great job with the pre-sales, everything else is just kind of, like you say, gravy because people just show up.
The big piece is the concert. I mean, a big reason we've done the concert and the celebrity challenge is to try to get people to come out to the tournament and see that you don't have to love, you know, the game of golf or watching golf to, like, want to be there because it really just is one big festival.
Right. No. And in the past, you make a ton of money from this to give to the kids in this town in Southern Arizona because you guys do a great job with it. Your goal is, like, minimum $500,000, correct?
That's our goal. You know, unfortunately, we haven't reached that the past few years, but we've been able to give $600,000 back into the community the past few years, which, you know, is still, you know, is not chump change by any means.
Yeah, no question. And if can I say or ask you, if people want to get some money, what's the qualification?
So all they have to do is go to TucsonConquistadors.com, and they can download our application for funding. And what's neat about what we do is we actually fund 11 months of the year. The only month we don't meet to fund groups is the month of the golf tournament. And or they can just call the office at 520-571-0400 and ask for our funding application, and they fill it out. And within 4 weeks, you know, we let you know if you receive that grant or not.
Right, right. And I don't want to say you guys are liberal, but you guys are very generous in how you distribute.
We are. We are. And, you know, it's all based on need, obviously. But,
right.
You know, we do our best. But, you know, the need is great, and there's only so many dollars. And so the more tickets we sell to the tournament and sponsorships and tickets to the concert, then the more money we have to give away.
So are you already a resident and receiving mail at Tucson National?
Not yet.
Given you'll be living there for a while?
The guys have been there setting up ops. You know, all the scaffolding and the bleachers and the hospitality tents have been going up, and the TV trailers rolling in and all those things. That's all been happening this week.
So
we'll move our office this weekend up there.
I have about 30 seconds. So are you the shake hands, kiss babies? What's your role? How do you?
A little bit of everything.
Yes, I figured as much. You're doing everything, saying,
yeah.
Checking, making sure everything's going well.
Exactly, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're an old pro at this, or a young woman pro at this.
Yeah, right.
You'll have a fun time. I hope to see you out there.
We better see you out there, Steve, and
yes.
I hope everybody comes out.
Great. Thank you, Judy. Appreciate everything you do.
Thanks so much.
Take care. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
We'll talk more about this next week as well here on 10-3 The Voice. We've got to take our break here and come back and talk to Mr. Walt Ruff of the Tucson Roadrunners here on 10-3 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10-3 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And now on the phone, I have Walt Ruff of the Tucson Roadrunners. How are you, Walt?
Steve, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Good to have the team back in their friendly confines on the ice here. I'm sure you're glad to see them back.
Yes, absolutely. It's always exciting. You know, it's a trip that's a bit out of our circumstances, but it kind of builds that momentum, and now we're back home, and it's time for the home stretch.
Last year, when I first came on the scene here and talked to you guys at length during this time, it was the trip from hell that you guys kind of did you in terms of the playoff hopes, but you didn't do all that great here, but it wasn't the trip from hell. You guys are still in first place. The mood must be still good as you move into the second half.
Yeah, I think really it's a testament. You know, you're always looking for positives in situations where maybe things aren't going exactly the way that you want them to. And I think that the fact that the team has the ability to reflect on the start that they got off to that has allowed them to remain in first place, even though the trip didn't go as they had hoped for. I think that's a positive for certain that they obviously played very well at the start of the year. Head coach Jay Verity was talking about stacking and collecting the points, and they did that. Things aren't going the team's way right now, but they're still in first place, so I guess that, you know, they must have done something right along the way.
Yeah, no question. That it was that great cushion early on, and they're obviously still very good, so they have some hope. Tucson has some hope of making some good run in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think the confidence there has wavered at all. The team's feeling great. There's 19 games to go in the regular season. As of right now, the Pacific Division is the tightest in all of the American Hockey League. But, you know, of course, the team's, as you mentioned, still in first place, so it still looks pretty good. And looking to wind up with the home stretch here, and hopefully we can get some late April, early May hockey here in Tucson.
Yeah, and no, how better than to have Stockton in town against the 1 and 2 seeds, or number 1 and 2places right away?
Yeah, that's exactly what you hope for. You know, you want it coming down to the stretch, you want to play those playoff type games. So that way, when the postseason comes around, you're not laboring in playing games that are a little bit further down in the standings. You want to see what you're going to go up against. And that's what the team's going to get this weekend. It should be an awesome weekend at the TCC. You know, you said it, first versus second. And it's always a well-attended weekend because we really start to get that interest coming after the Gem Show road trip. So we've got some pretty good promotions, too. 1, 2, 3 food night tomorrow night, cheap eats, $1 soft drinks, $2 hot dogs, $3 beers. And then Saturday is one of the biggest nights of the year. It's youth jersey giveaway. Kids 12 and under will receive a Roadrunners youth jersey upon entry. So that's always a successful one.
Oh, nice. Nice, nice. And they love those jerseys, too. Which ones are they?
Yeah. Definitely. They're going to be a little bit closer modeled to the red ones this year. We did the white ones last year, so we're going to do the red this year, but I think next year it's a pretty popular decision that the black ones have really taken off. So there's a little bit of a tease for next year, I guess.
So let me ask you, you've been here a little more than 2 years now, is that right?
Yes, this is my third year with the team.
Third year. So what do you think about Tucson? Not so much as a fan-based area, but as a youth hockey group. How is it?
Oh, I love it. I mean, the numbers, the USA Hockey numbers in Arizona continue to rise, and I think that's a big credit to the Arizona Coyotes and everything that they've been able to accomplish up in the Phoenix, Glendale area. They've done a phenomenal job of growing the game, and you know, these things take time. It's not an overnight procedure, unfortunately, with the I don't think limitations are the right word, but obviously, you know, if you want to go play baseball, you find an open field and you play ball. If you want to play basketball, you know, you go find a hoop. But it's a little bit more difficult to have an ice hockey rink, per se. And it's something that I know our organization, along with several others, including the University of Arizona men's club ice hockey team, I'm sure that they would also benefit from having another rink here. And you know, it's something that is being worked toward in the future. It has been being worked toward, but you know, it's one of those, if you build it, they will come situations. And right now the TCC is going until all hours of the night. On a typical day like today, you've got the junior Roadrunners, the youth hockey program, running in the beginning part of the night, and then you've got the men's league running until almost about midnight. So there's no shortage of want for the ice here in Tucson. That's for certain, all ages, really. So couldn't be more thrilled, and we're going to keep trying our best to keep growing that game here within the state.
Yeah, no, nice. Hey, let's go back to the team now. Defensive men, Kyle Capobianco, is that correct? Is coming back from an ACL injury. How's he doing?
Yeah, Kyle's been great. It's really been nothing short of miraculous to see him and his improvements this year. Obviously, in any sport, when you suffer that injury, it really does take quite some time to get back from it. And we see so often guys are never really fully themselves. But Kyle's been great. He's a third-year pro, and he's been an all-star at this level all 3 years. I know I've said it before, and I'll say it again on this show. He is the guy who you look at when you look at our roster and say, you know, he's in Tucson right now, but as soon as he gets the opportunity full-time in Glendale, he's going to be that guy who's going to be in the national spotlight every evening. Very similar to what Connor Garland's done. He was burst onto the scene here in Tucson. He continued to evolve and grow his game, and now he's the first Arizona Coyotes forward to score 20 goals in 2 years. So it's exciting to see, you know, those guys who really blossom and grow here in Tucson, and then the next night they're on NBC Sports, which is really cool to see.
Yeah, nice, nice, nice. Hey, the trade deadline comes up here pretty soon. What's that mean for Coyotes, for the Roadrunners, for everybody?
You know, I think really right now your guess is as good as mine, Steve. And I say that with a laugh because obviously the Arizona Coyotes, their main mission as an organization is to get the NHL parent club into the playoffs. Right now they're in the mix, but similar to us, they've gone through a bit of a rough patch. So I'm very curious to see if they make some moves coming before Monday's trade deadline. And, you know, the trickle down from there, 2 years ago, we saw the organization make a flurry of moves to assist our playoff run in 2018. And that was a lot of fun. But, of course, it was, we're under different circumstances with the parent club being relatively out of the playoff position by that point. So I guess we'll have to wait and see, but that's always an interesting day because, you know, you can't really predict these things. It is a business at the end of the day, and some of the guys you get to work very closely with, they're here one day, and, you know, unfortunately for some, they're gone the next, but I guess we'll see you come Monday.
Yeah, nice, nice. I have a quick off-the-topic question about Cunningham. How's he doing, and what's he doing?
You know, that's a great question and a very topical one right now. Craig's really working with his All Heart Foundation on top of still being a scout for the Arizona Coyotes. It's always great to see him at Tucson Arena every once in a while, but he is scouting the kind of the Western Canada region right now for the Arizona Coyotes. And then again, with his All Heart Foundation, he's really working and raising awareness along with Dr. Culpe, who he worked with, and, you know, Dr. Culpe really saved his life during that first season here in Tucson. And then last week with the unfortunate incident in St. Louis with defenseman Jay Bouwmeester, one of the long stalwarts of the game, going down in a similar cardiac situation. This has really been a banner week for Craig because he's working and striving to help create and assist with technology of not only the prevention of some of these things, but working on how the technology can really assist in situations like this. Of course, you can't always predict when these things are going to happen, but if there's little episodes or algorithms that can, you know, potentially throw up a red flag before something happens, that's obviously going to be very, very beneficial, as it's something which we've seen within the hockey world the last few years. So big credit to Craig and working through that. And he's a very busy guy, but he's certainly making the most of what he's doing.
Yeah, and he's doing it well, apparently, so that's a good thing. Lastly, we'll just kind of review real quick. Stockton comes in this weekend. Big events in terms of goodies this weekend, the 1-2-3 with the food, and then the jersey on Saturday. Tickets, again, how much?
Single game tickets start at $16 if you're going to buy them at the box office, but I would definitely recommend giving our front office a call at 866-774-6253 or just visiting our website at TucsonRoadrunners.com. And I say that because we do not sell single game tickets out of our office, but we are able to sell ticket packages, which are a little bit different. And oftentimes, you know, whether it's a family affair or coming out with some friends, we can typically find a way to get three or four tickets in a bundle and save you some money if you're going to come out. So again, that's TucsonRoadrunners.com for that information. You hit the nail on the head. Tomorrow night, 1-2-3 night, thanks to our friends at Coors Light, $1 soft drinks, $2 hot dogs, $3 beers. It's also a T-Mobile 55 plus night. It's a new promotion we're running this year, and we've seen that pick up some traction in the second half of the year, thanks in large part to the Snowbirds. But the best seats in the house, right at the center ice, are only $19, which is nice because the $16 tickets are going to be at the end section when you go inside the TCC. But if you can get the best seat in the house for only $3 more, we think that's a pretty good deal. Saturday, youth jersey giveaway. The first 1,000 children ages 12 and under will get that Roadrunners youth jersey courtesy of 1AZ Credit Union. It's also another T-Mobile Kachina Saturday for us, which means we will be wearing the black sweater. So should be a great weekend for us. We're starting to see that attendance pick up here in the second half, and should be a nice celebration to welcome the team back this weekend.
Great, great. Thank you, Walt. Appreciate it. Always good to talk to you. Good luck this weekend, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you lots.
Yeah, I think that was Walt Ruff of the Tucson Roadrunners. We'll come back on the other side of this break here on 1030 The Voice, give you an update on the score at U of A. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, in with my guy Tom Callahan. So Arizona is doing pretty well. They up 37-27 with about 2 minutes left in the half. They had a little bigger lead before this. Now it's down to 7. Oregon State just hit a big 3. So we'll see how it goes. Last time when they played each other, Oregon State showed them up in the second half and then pulled away. So we'll see if that continues. Richard Jefferson is in town doing the game for Pac-12 Network, and I guess he'll be in town again throughout the weekend because he's doing the game with Mr. Bill Walton, Saturday night, and they do have a history. Luke Walton and Richard are best of friends. The best of friends, almost like brothers. They came in at the same time in 1999, 98-99, first class. And in fact, it was Mr. Bill Walton that got Richard suspended for a game or two later on in his career. I think he had to miss a game or so because he had purchased a ticket for him to go see an NBA game or the All-Star game, one of the two, and paid for the ticket. And people found out about it. So then he was suspended, and then he had to pay the money back for that ticket, even though they're close friends.
Yeah, it was basically Bill buying his kid a couple of seats to the All-Star game. Take your buddy.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The NCAA is weird. It's worth billions of dollars.
That's a good question. That's a good word for him, yes. Weird.
But heaven forbid somebody says, hey, why don't you take your buddy and go see the All-Star game? Especially a guy like Bill Walton.
Right.
But I don't know.
At the time, we thought it was kind of foolish. It's still even worse now that we think about it.
It is.
Yeah. No, he bought him two tickets. They said they went to the game, and people found out about it, so he had to pay it back.
It's ridiculous.
And sit out a game or two. I can't remember what game it was, but it was later in the year, and they'll probably talk about that tomorrow, I assume. And him and Luke were fast friends. It's hard not to be friends with both of them. Both good guys. Richard's a little petulant, little cocky, funny guy. Very funny. Very smart. Luke is just a happy-go-lucky, smart guy. Love covering both of them back in the late 90s, 2000, 2001. I still think that Richard and Luke were part of the best team ever here with Luke, Richard, Jason Gardner, Gilbert Arenas, Michael Wright, Lauren Woods. I think there's your top five. Gene Edgerson was still around, and so was Justin Wessel. Pretty good team.
Sound nostalgic.
They lost to Duke in the finals in a game that many people thought they should have beat Duke because they got homered a little. You know, Duke played really well. Dunleavy was fantastic that game. So we'll see. It's always debatable, those championship teams. People in 97 are saying, well, Arizona got lucky. They still want it. 98, yeah. They got unlucky when they lost it. So it's halftime, 40-30. Arizona leads 40-30. So that's a pretty good score for them at halftime against Oregon State, a team that was trying to slow them down. So we'll see.
Well,
are you going to the golf now that you know that Mr. Couples is going?
You know, I was wanting to go before that, but it's just the list keeps getting better and better of people going to this golf tournament. Mm-hmm. Seriously, it's great, the number of folks who are committing to the tournament, and we just got the exclusive. Freddie Couples is coming, so that was cool. Yeah, it's a great lineup, Steve.
Yeah.
It really is.
And I think the weather's going to be fantastic. When isn't it? But I think this weekend is going to be a little rain, but nothing's going on outside, so we're fine.
I hope so. I mean, there's wet weather always affects Tucson in general.
Oh, yes. It's like snow in Buffalo.
Yeah, except we know how to drive in snow.
And people in Tucson don't know how to drive in rain.
Oh, my goodness. Just stay home.
Yeah. No, I'm sure that frustrates you. Or
it can.
Laughable.
See, it's not me. And that's the thing is you always got to worry about the other guy. I suppose that's life, though, isn't it? You always got to worry about the other guy.
True. That's why you take defensive classes on driving.
Yep.
Or at least think that way anyway.
That's why I drive a Volvo.
A Volvo? 1977?
Yeah. It's a small tank.
Is it? How old is it?
It's a 2005.
Oh, yeah. So,
so.
Got 100,000 miles on it. No biggie.
170-something-ish. Yeah.
You should be one of those guys that does a commercial.
Still great.
I love my Volvo. It's 170. I love it. Plus, my car's not too far away from that. So here we go. It's halftime, 40-30. We'll see if they can stay among the leaders in the Pac-12 because it's a big bunch up there. Six teams within one game. And Oregon coming up here on Saturday, kind of for the league lead. And we'll see what happens.
Pac-12 championship, just a nice to have, or does it matter to this
good
team?
Good question.
Does it matter to these guys?
Good question. I'm sure it does, and it has to. And let me tell you, I've gone into...
And I was wondering from a standpoint of... I just feel like the tournament is what everybody focuses on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like the Pac-12 championship, to me, outside looking in... is a nice to have, but I just wonder, does it really matter to them, or are they just more concerned with their tournament seed?
No. Well, they should be both. But let me tell you, two years ago, Arizona won the Pac-12 title in the tournament. I think they didn't win it in the regular season. And then they took a major hit against Buffalo, and I said it was just not a good year. It was just not a good year. For Arizona basketball, a few of my readers or people who read me said I'm full of it because it was a great year. They won the Pac-12 title, had a big, nice winning season, another one, yada yada. But I go to this with you a number of times. I think, is this what Arizona basketball is gauged on? Now winning a Pac-12 title and having a winning season—that's what this place is about now. Didn't this team consider itself, or this school consider itself, a basketball school, which would mean what? Deep runs into the tournament?
Sure.
And a lot of success, guess where? In the tournament? That's how you're measured. Pac-12 titles, you're not measured by 12 Pac-12 titles. Good to have, good to have. It's not who you are. It doesn't define you. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am.
I think if you're a top of the ladder Pac-12 basketball school, you just say, all right, well, we know we're going to win the title. We need to win the national championship.
We need to get deep into the – right now, these last few teams, it's like get deep into the tournament.
Yeah.
Let's review. 4 years ago, they lost to Wichita State on the road in the first round. I think as a higher or lower seed. I can't remember which one they were. 3 years ago, they lost. Well, they lost in the Sweet 16 to Xavier, the Xavier team that they should have beat. His old school.
I was gonna say that's gotta be a gut punch for Sean.
No question. His old school. 2 years ago, it was the Buffalo defeat. Last year, no tournament. Come on.
Last year, though, should be the real... We always say everything's a wake-up call, right? But mm-hmm. You missed the tournament last year.
Right. It's going to be like North Carolina missing the tournament this year. Maybe not as extreme because it's North Carolina in a basketball school year. But they were obviously very good at the beginning and just had a lot of bad... Did you see the last loss?
No.
It was unbelievable. They lost to Notre Dame. They had a big lead, and they crumbled too, like they did against... who beat him in the last second? Duke, I think it was some crazy, fluky way to lose, and they lost it. Roy Williams looked like his dog had run away and just was never coming back. Just how distraught he was.
I do have to admit this, Steve. I'm a bit of a front runner when it comes to national sports like this, though. If you're not ranked, I'm probably not watching you. I will say that. I look at the little numbers next to your team name. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I look at the little numbers next to your team name before I decide if I'm going to stay and watch part of your game.
Is that on TV?
Yes.
Oh, because you want to see a quality game or a quality team?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I'm flipping around, I mean, great. Okay, North Carolina's playing, but they're not ranked. I'm like, I'll see what else is on.
Right. So what if two ranked teams face each other, you're definitely watching?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll do that on college football Saturdays, too.
Sports snob?
I can be. Yeah. Look, I'm a hockey snob, too. I love the sport of hockey. And when I'm flipping around, if there's a good game, I will pick that over teams I like to watch. I'd rather watch the good game.
Yeah.
That's how I am.
Yeah, unless it's deep into the night at U of A Stadium.
And you're... I wanted to see a touchdown. That was, I'm like, I'm not leaving, or something. Put points on the board. Come on.
You're a crazy man.
I came all the way down here, but you know what? I was rewarded.
You're a crazy man.
I was rewarded.
You saw your touchdown. What was the score at the time?
It might have been 51-0 and then 51-7 or something like 40-50. I don't even remember anymore. I just remember they put the ball in the end zone. I was happy.
Yeah. Yeah, and you got up and took your ball and went home.
You know what the funny thing is, though, Steve? Like, in all seriousness, out of... pretty much everything that I could possibly remember about that game, that is what I remember, is them scoring that touchdown. So there you go.
Because that's what you're anticipating.
Right, that's what I took out of the ball game with me. So right. I had fun.
Nice. So good for you. Good for you. You might be there a lot this season waiting for people to score.
I'll be there on Sunday morning.
Yeah, 12:10. Oh, it's still the fourth quarter.
Oh,
I haven't scored a touchdown.
Oh, goodness.
Come on, Gunnell.
The games do take a long time.
Yes.
They really drag them out. Mm-hmm. You don't realize what TV covers so much with replays and everything, but football is slow.
Well, no, because you're going to the game sometimes. Anyway, are you doing stats or no?
I did for the bowl game, not for the regular games.
You go as a reporter. You go in 2 hours before, sit through a 3.5-4 hour game, wait for the press conference a half hour after that. You get the press conference for a half hour, and then you have to write. That's when the real work starts.
Are you telling me your job's not glamorous, Steve? Everybody thinks it's a glamorous lifestyle you lead.
Oh, yeah. They have no idea. I wrote a story about that once. My bosses were really PO'd.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because I should be enjoying myself.
Oh, well.
You know how it is.
Heaven forbid work be work sometimes.
Yes. Oh, actually, it was at the Final Four in 2000, probably one. It was, we were working all day on Easter Sunday. Colleagues of mine who I'm communicating with now, we were at, you know where we had Easter Sunday? The only place that was open in Indianapolis?
Had to be like a Chinese food place or something.
It was at Hooters.
Oh, Hooters was open. Okay.
So we're eating Hooters on Easter Sunday because there was nothing else open because we were working all day. And I kind of wrote about it. I thought it was funny. So, I said, I love my job, but here we are, 12 hours, 13 hours. And I wouldn't do, let me say this. I wouldn't do anything else. Wouldn't do anything else because I enjoy it so much. But before you start saying, you know, hey, we're having fun, blah, blah, blah. No, not so much.
I think that's the case with anything, though. But especially, like, people look at the world of sports and they think it's just glamorous because you see the top athletes with all the money and everything, all the trappings, and you think, oh, well, everybody involved in sports is like that. Yeah.
Did you ever watch, well, you go to events and you see us sports writers.
Sure.
We're a bunch of slubs. We're just a bunch of fat guys. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I got a question for you.
Where's the food?
Yeah, where's the food?
That's
the
important.
The popcorn, the sodas.
Yeah.
And hey, how you doing? You know, well, they're an underdog by 5 points, you know. It's Oscar Madison.
Yeah.
Or Oscar, Oscar Madison. Perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
Disheveled. Thinks he's cool. Well, thinks he's cool, but you know, he's that guy.
Hey, how you doing? Who'd you get? I got him plus one, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of make deadline here. And then just chain smokers, drinkers.
And you can't smoke in press boxes anymore.
No,
but I mean, it was, you had to part the clouds or duck.
Back in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, my sports show, the sports guys has this, you know, we compete, we sit down and talk. I wanted to kind of emulate the guys back in the day, the Chicago. Hey, how you doing? You know, the Chicago team is pretty good. But we could, because no one smokes anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to have, I don't even know if they have candy cigarettes.
No, yeah, I'm not sure either. Hey, Tom, good to see you. We'll see you next week.
Yes, we'll convene on Monday.
I get Tom 2 here. I'm going to go race to the basketball game, catch the second half, and see what happens. Good luck, everybody. See you. 10:30 The Voice.